Welcome to the ECS Equip Podcast, a weekly podcast for K-12 Christian educators and parents. Our objective is to give voice to equip our K-12 school community about thinking and teaching in light of a Christian worldview. We cover a host of issues, purpose to scratch where parents are itching, answering some of their most pressing questions. I am ecstatic today because I get to interview a legendary basketball player, Willie Jenkins. He's currently our director of student life and essentially serves as a great bridge between faculty, staff, and our students. And he's a remarkable basketball player, but he loves the Lord Jesus Christ, and discipleship is in his DNA. So welcome, Coach Jenkins.
Appreciate it. Glad to be here.
So a little bit about your background. You came here 2 years ago, and you worked with our 8th grade girls basketball team. And something captivated you about ECS. And then you went over to Broadcrest, and now you're back with us in a full-time role. Let's talk a little bit about that journey for you, from your perspective.
I had met a guy by the name of Travis Slater, and I told him at the time I was battling, do I still want to play basketball or coach? And I knew I wanted to coach my whole life. I just didn't know what level I wanted to coach on. And when I got saved, it was more of where can I be most beneficial at. So Travis kind of tricked me in coming to ECS, being honest. He said, well, you know, I know you want to coach college, so, but my daughter got an 8th grade team. Can you coach them for me? I'm like, I ain't messing with no girls, man. I'm cool. I ain't doing that one, Travis. He said, pray about it. So me and my wife, we prayed about it. He called back. I told him, nah, Travis, I ain't doing no girls. He said, man, I want you to meet a guy named Chip Husson. Just talk to him for a little bit and then see what happens. So Chip called me, and my wife had said, you know, I've been praying about it, and you want to coach, but if you can coach girls, you can coach. And I always watched WNBA because I like the fundamental part of the game. So I met Chip, and we decided to do it, and I come over here, and, man, them girls just, God used them to rock me, man. They rocked me. Nobody don't really know. I had a chance to go back overseas that year for $9,000 in Greece. And I called, my agent called me and said, I got you a deal in Greece. I called my wife, and when you get ready to go overseas, you got to be ready to go once they call. So I called my wife and said, you know, my agent just called me, we can go to Greece. And she said, okay, I'm going to get home and I'm going to pack up. I said, okay. I came through the door. She looked at me. She said, we ain't going in. I said, nah, we ain't going. I'm done. I'm done with it. How can I tell these young ladies that a man doesn't chase money? He chases Christ, and then I would lead him and go chase money. So that's how I got here. And we had a great season, man. We cried together. We bled sweat and tears together. And, they end up winning the championship. But, you know, if you put hard work in, good things will happen. But I think the biggest thing that impacted me was I got to see these young ladies grow up in the front of my eyes and share the gospel at games. And the last game we prayed, before every game we pray, normally I'm the one praying, but that last championship game we decided to let everybody pray. And none of them asked God to win a game. They all asked if somebody see them, they pray that they will see Christ and want to know who he is, and they'll be able to tell them about it. And that right there kind of sealed my deal for me as far as coaching. Yeah. So that's how it went.
Through through the heart of ladies.
Yeah.
So you're – talk a little about your background, because you're from Memphis.
Yes.
Yeah. And briefly share your testimony, because I think it's powerful.
Yeah.
Because you know, you went overseas and you became a believer by watching. I remember you telling me this story. It's fascinating. So talk a little bit about your journey and how you came to Christ, because I think it's a significant part of who you are and who God's created you to be.
Like you said, I'm from Memphis, and I grew up in the inner city, and my dad wasn't around. My mom basically raised me on her own, and I kind of, when you don't have a male figure there, you turn to some things you shouldn't turn to, and I turned kind of to the streets. I wasn't out there selling drugs or killing or gang banging or nothing, but I was letting the world dictate who I was, and the world told me a man was how much money you had, how many women you had, how much jewelry and cars and all these things, and that's what I chased, and I chose basketball to chase it through. And I can remember it's crazy how God was just working through my life. I know it was him now, but at the time I didn't. Little things would happen, and I would just brush it off. So, like you said, I found Christ in a Muslim country. I was working out with a guy by the name of Jeff Trotter and actually Penny Hardaway. And I was getting ready to go to Saudi Arabia. And Jeff had made me a deal because I was still kind of in the streets living a worldly life. He said, well, if you don't go out tonight, then you ain't got to go with me at 5 in the morning to a meeting with a guy by the name of Sue Campbell. But if you do, you got to go. I was like, man, I ain't going out tonight anyway, so I ain't going to that meeting. That's crazy. About 4:30, he called and said, you ready? I said, yeah, I'm ready. Because I had went out that night. And we went in there, and Sue had made a statement. I'll never forget it. It was a room full of number of men. And it was like, you know how when you go to church and you know you done something wrong, it's like the pastor staring at you, even though it's 200, 300 people in the building. It's like it's just you and him. That's how it was with me and Sue. He said, if you're going to be a part of this, you got to go on a mission trip in 2 years. Well, me being who I was at the time, I cussed him out. And I was like, man, who the F you think you are? And I ain't say F, I said the other word. And I was like, man, you ain't my daddy. You ain't Jesus. You can't tell me what to do. And we left. And Jeff was like, what do you think of this? I was like, man, y'all on some coach stuff. I ain't never seen nothing like this. So I figured I'd get my money. So I went over to Saudi Arabia, and it's a Muslim country. All I know about Muslims is bombs. That's what you see on CNN. But if you look at the TV over there, all they know about Christians is the same thing. The media portray religions in different ways that we can't even imagine. That's why it's good for us to study and understand who God has made us to be. So I go over there, and I'm at a basketball game, and like I said, all I can think about is bombs. And over there, men and women can't be in the same building together. They had a right to kill you, unless it's your wife or your daughter or something like that. So it's nothing but men. It's about 150 men and their sons. And the whistle blows, and I'm like, man, I'm from Memphis. All these people coming out of the stands, I'm from Memphis. My passport in my bag because I kept it on me. I'm going to get home. Y'all might blow y'all self up, but y'all ain't blowing me up. That's for sure. And someone told me to just stand still. And I stood, and I watched all these men and their headdresses, the refs, both teams, go wash their face, their hands, their feet, and pull these rugs out. And this older guy got in front of them. He started praying, and they all praying together. And the little sons, you got to be a certain age to pray. If they weren't old, they had to sit there and watch their father pray. And I'm thinking, I'm like, I get it, Lord. God need warriors. He need lions. That's why Soup said what he said. And the crazy part is they had the right process, just wrong God. Hmm. And I called Jeff, and I said, I got it. I understand now. God need lions. He need warriors. See, we say that their religion is wrong and they worship the wrong God, but five times out of day they pray. You can't even get water. They shut everything down, and they do it in the middle of the desert. It don't matter where they're at. They're praying when it's time to pray. But we'll come and go to Chili's or Outback or wherever you, Rube Chris, wherever you want to go, and we won't even hold our hands in front of people and pray. I don't understand that. We say they wrong, but they not ashamed of their Lord. But we won't even tell somebody about our Lord. So I said, Jeff, I get it. So I told God right then, I picked up my Bible. The only reason I had it because my mom told me that this would protect you. You know what I mean? I didn't know nothing about it. I was still, you know, doing worldly things. And I said, Lord, I don't know nothing about this Bible, but I promise you, before my feet hit the ground and before my feet leave the ground, I will read your word. Please direct me because I don't want to live the way I'm living no more. I don't have peace. I got money, but I don't have no peace. And, man, over about, I want to say, 6 months, 7 months span, God just started to reveal things to me about myself, reveal things in his word. And I ain't have, it's just me over there, like me. Like it's nobody else. I can Skype people and call them, but the time was so frame was so different. So I just had time. I would go to the gym, work out, and I would just come back home. I wouldn't even look at the TV because it was all air up. And I would just take my Bible and read, and I'd be like, man, this is, wow, this is amazing. You know what I mean? I still had my sinful ways. We still have them now when you say, but it just started rocking me. So I got back home, and I said, I went to a guy by the name of Randy Odom, and I asked him to disciple me. And he said, nah, man, you need somebody going to punch you in your mouth. You hard-headed. you need Soup Campbell. I said, nah, me and him will fight. I know that for sure. He said, exactly. So he texted me the number about 5 o'clock in the morning again. At the time, I didn't know. I'm like, what's wrong with D4? 5 o'clock in the morning, texting somebody, man. Go to sleep. So I got ready to go to the University of Memphis and work out. And I called Soup. I called him. He didn't pick up. I was so happy. I was like, see, he ain't about that anyway, you know, because I was used to Jesus said this, Jesus said that, and I give me $50, or Jesus said this, Jesus said that, and they sleeping with Deacon Johnson's wife, and I see you doing it. So I can be of the world because you are the world. So I'm going to heaven regardless, just like you. You tell you going to heaven, so why should I change? So when he didn't pick up, I was like, he's just like everybody else. Well, before I could get out of my workout, he had called me back about 3 or 4 times. And I called him back, and he said, I told him, I said, hey, I'm Willie Jing. He said, yeah, I know who you are. Meet me at the Republic. And it was, like, so strong that I had, you know, kind of like a man, you know what I mean? Yeah, I know who you are. Meet me at Republic at this time. See you there. You know what I mean? It was like, all right, cool. So I go up there, and I sit down with him, and I said, man, I don't like you. He said, well, I don't like you either. So what are we going to do, fight or get in the Word? I said, oh, okay, I got you. You know, it kind of, I wanted what he had. I didn't know what he had, but it was a man that I saw in front of me. I had never seen nothing like that. And he started breaking down the Genesis, the fall of man, and told me I was the way I was because a punk named Adam didn't obey. And he was passive. He wouldn't reject passive. He wouldn't accept responsibility. He didn't lead creation. He didn't invest internally. And we just walked through that fall of man, and I never had nobody walk through that like me, like that before, and show me, like, man, God didn't make me that way. He made me as a leader. He made me as a lion. He made me to impact the world, not for me, but for his kingdom and all these things. And man, I've been with Soup ever since then, and that's just been what I've been on. Like, I just want young men and young women to understand their value. You know, in order to know your value, you got to know who made you. And once you understand that, how can somebody else tell you something different? So that's how I came to Christ. And it's just...
Well, I, you know, hearing that story, but I think one of the things that I feel like when we met, there were some fireworks that went off because yes, we're both disciples at heart.
Yeah.
It may look a little differently, but we both want to make disciples.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us why you're glad to be in the role you're here. What the opportunity is before you, because we've talked on and off about this, and I think you're here to kind of survey all that's happening, but we also... students are at different points in their spiritual journey, and we have an incredible opportunity as a school that pursues high academics, but we also are very purposed toward discipleship. Mm-hmm. So, talk a little bit about that.
Well, like me and you talk, I should not say I don't care about ECS because that's not true, but ECS is not my focus. I care more about the people at ECS. I see all nations through these young men and young women and staff. And when I came on the campus, man, I saw just a whole bunch of young men and young women who just could impact the world. And like we don't even understand, like, it's some place you can't even share the gospel with. You can't even talk about it, but we can talk about it freely here. Mm-hmm. Man, like, we're blessed. Like, we can't take that for granted. And with the kids, man, I just want them to understand, man, everybody was where you're at right now. We're no higher than you. We're not lower than you. We're all on the same playing field. But with saying that, you got to understand, man, it's consequence for every action you take. And if God got to, I tell people all the time, he tap you, then he smack you. You should be thankful that he's willing to tap you, and smack you, because that means he cares about you and he wants you to follow him. Question is, will we go through the process to follow them? Like, will we give up and die to ourselves? So my job is basically to bridge the gap between the teachers and the students. But I really believe it's honestly just to equip these kids from leaving here to go out into the world. It's not about the trophies we bring in, it's the trophies we put out. So my job is to equip and show them, hey, a man say no. When I say man, I'm talking about mankind. But boys say yes. We got to be able to say no to the world and say yes to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
So. Yeah. So on a lighter note, are you? Do you ever play horse?
Yes, I do.
You do?
Yeah, I love horses.
Have we ever played?
Yes, we have.
How what was the outcome of that game? Do you remember?
Yeah, I do remember. And I'm gonna be honest with you about it. So it was a game, and it was me, you, Sam Kelly, and Daniel Holmes. Well, me and Daniel Holmes.
Oh, it's coming back to me now.
Yeah, me and Daniel Holmes. Daniel was trying to get a raise, and I was trying to get hired. So we said we're going to let you win. No, I'm joking. You beat us.
No,
you
that was. Oh, man, that was funny. No, yeah. You. What position did you play?
I played 1, 2, 3, 4, sometimes 5.
You still dunk?
Yes, I can. The problem ain't getting up. The problem is coming down. When you come down, your knees hurt. Yeah.
Yeah.
The problem won't ever be getting up there.
Well, so you've got an esteemed background in basketball.
Yes, sir. I've been blessed.
Played Tennessee Tech, and you were inducted in the Hall of Fame pretty recently, within the last
year.
Year?
Yeah.
That's neat. Tell me about what competition. I really believe that there's a furnace of competition that really can bring out things that's hard to manufacture in classrooms. Mm-hmm. Talk about sport in your life. For me, it was soccer. I played soccer in college and just super passionate about how that game taught me about life and continues to teach me and about my sin, my depravity, and how God's created me, but what He wants me to pursue. Talk a little about how basketball has formed and shaped you.
Man, it gave me a discipline, an understanding of team and work ethic. God talks about athletes in the Bible a lot, big time. And just that camaraderie with my teammates and all this, it helped form me into who I am today. I remember Soup sitting down with me. He said, Willie, you're a competitor by heart. So you getting in the word probably won't be hard for you. And I had to put it in perspective for me. If I could get up at 5 in the morning and go shoot baskets, well, I can get up at 5 in the morning and get in my word too. So I look at sports as a way to equip and a way to pour into young men and young women. And I'm big. I'm high on sports. I'm not high on you finding your identity in sports, but I'm high on you giving it all you got so God can use, because basketball, football, whatever, soccer, whatever sports you're playing, that's just a vehicle. Whatever you do, if you teacher, if you podcast, whatever you do, it's just a vehicle for God to use to get you to these lands to proclaim His name.
Yeah.
That's what it's for. So we got to be excellent, strive for excellence, and go after that, shoot for the stars, and if we miss a star, we at least land on the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I look at it.
What's the best, that's well said, man. I'm glad to be on the journey of, you know, working here, serving here with you on impacting students' lives. Who were some of the top players you've ever had to play against?
Woo! I hope they don't hear this. This Antoine Walker was pretty good.
Kentucky and Celtics, right?
Yeah, he was pretty
good. See, I know my basketball.
Yeah, I see it. He was pretty good. If I had to pick one and just being honest, Penny was probably the vision he had and all that. I don't think I'd have seen nothing like that. At his height, and I got to know him when he was done playing, and we would go to the gym, and he would make passes that you like, man, where did you get that from? Hassan Whiteside was pretty good. J.R. Smith was pretty good. KD. KD's up there. That's another one that's up there. I got a chance to work out with him in D.C. Mike Beasley was in there, too. You got some players in there. Then you know what? I take that back. Penny. But there's one guy named Jimmy Snap Hunter. I haven't seen nothing like it. He's from Memphis. Snap. Snap was serious. I ain't seen nothing like that.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. So I take Snap.
Well, we're super glad you're here. I can't wait to have you back on. We've got some exciting things happening in the area of discipleship here at ECS that we're still working behind the scenes on that we'll bring you back on to talk about as we unfold that for our community.
Okay.
Man, I'm thankful that you're a brother in Christ,
yes, sir.
That you are on mission for Him and for all nations impacting here at ECS. KOKO, keep on keeping on. Salve Deo Gloria.